Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
Coming to you from our bedrooms, breaking news. Joe Biden has come out. Joe Biden came out with a statement on the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. If you're waiting for one from the president, you'll be waiting a long time.
I'm not waiting, but I am mourning the loss of Thomas Sokolowski.
Yes.
Who, a gallery owner and director who connected the art world to AIDS activism, specifically ACT UP. He has died at age 70.
Some good news from Maryland, where a school district has green-lighted a high school course in LGBTQ studies.
Well, here's the real bulletin. The New York Blood Center says it is going to implement the new FDA guidelines on gay male blood donations, and other people too, next month.
Doesn't go far enough, but it's a step forward. Costa Rica has opened marriage to same-sex couples.
Woo! Diplomats
celebrate in Costa Rica.
Diplomats in other countries who are stationed in Baghdad, Iraq, raised a rainbow flag, but the Iraq government is outraged and is reacting.
And threatening retaliation. In Uganda, the 19 LGBT people we told you about who have been held and abused for 50 days, well, a court ordered that they be released.
They're not in great shape, though. And we mentioned this earlier. We'll give you more details this week on the PBS production Pride Land on LGBT life in the South that is going to air at a couple of manifestations, some short videos online, and a one-hour special on June 12th.
Something else is happening today, Anne.
Yes, and I apologize if you're not seeing us live on Wednesday, May 20th, but there is something happening this afternoon as we are broadcasting live on Facebook that you should want to know about. It is a demonstration taking place in about 20 states across the country, most prominently in Washington, D.C. We showed you a couple of weeks ago fake body bags being dropped in front of the Trump International Hotel in D.C. Well, they're doing that again today, but at the White House and in 20 states around the country. There's going to be a car caravan they're going to start loading the cars at 4 p.m., and a live Zoom broadcast starts at 4 p.m., and they expect to leave Mitch McConnell's house then, drive into D.C., and take these body bags to the White House by about 5. So if you can find the Zoom invitation on Facebook, this is being done by the Center for Popular Democracy. You can try looking that up, or Heroes for, Healthcare, or Jennifer Flynn Walker, or National Funeral Day of Mourning, or it's somewhere on my Facebook page, too, although going to look for it, I couldn't find it either.
If you're seeing this later, you Google it, and you'll be able to see what happened.
Rachel Maddow talked about it last night, sort of previewing it, and expects to lead her show with it tonight at 9 p.m. on MSNBC. Jennifer and the Center for Popular Democracy are very into very provocative demonstrations, and this should be very powerful.
You mean they're allowed to exercise their First Amendment rights in Washington, D.C.?
That was a good segue, Andy.
Well, I do want to say, the Justice Department said to California about some churches, look, if you're opening up a lot of other things and churches are able to comply with distancing rules too, I mean, why not? If they can do it, if offices can do it, if others can do it. I know we're not supposed to side in any way with the Justice Department these days.
Good.
They're raising an issue there.
They're only raising it on behalf, really, of their because their base is so much religious, right-wing, evangelical.
All right, but defending the First Amendment is about sometimes defending things you don't like. But again, we need guidelines for how people are supposed to behave in public and how people are supposed to distance if things are going to open up at all. And that's going to go for going out to a restaurant, you know, where you might have to eat outside and stay far away from each other. So I think we have to apply it equally to everybody.
Of course we do. And that, of course, applies to churches too. Some churches have opened up and then decided to close again after having new infections break out. But the real trick is whoever, wherever, to adhere to the guidelines. And too often people do not adhere to the guidelines. They're not keeping a healthy distance. Oh, there's a term, healthy distance. You like that?
You came up with physical distancing as opposed to social distancing, which everybody tends to say. I think healthy distancing is very, very good.
Yeah, I didn't invent physical distancing, but I like healthy distancing even better.
You may notice that the two of us have white hair and are a little older. We fear all these young people running around without masks in groups. We pass them on the street. They're all together. Many of them may have the virus, but they're not suffering from it. So, but they're breathing hard or running and things. And this is part of the problem here. Young people, you need, please protect us from you.
All of us need to protect ourselves and everybody else. But yes, distance and a mask. And if you can adhere to those, you'll have a lot better chance of staying healthy.
Speaking of which, you had a healthfully distanced action in Central Park. Ann, tell us about it. You were there.
I was there. All right. So, you know the whole story. Franklin Graham and his bigotry came to New York City in the form of Samaritan's Purse, taking care of overflow COVID patients from Mount Sinai Hospital. We think this was an inappropriate alliance, and we have been holding press conferences and yelling about it for several weeks. We drove them out of town a little earlier than they planned. They left Central Park, the East Meadow, in terrible shape, just torn up like crazy, which we are never allowed to do. And we decided it needed a cleansing ceremony to get rid of the bad vibes in Central Park. So we held an event on Saturday morning, and you can see that we are all very distant from each other. You see in the background there on the left, the rainbow banner, an old Gilbert Baker banner, Stop the Hate. You'll see that closer up in a second. And in the middle, Reverend Billy Talon of the Church of Stop Shopping, who regaled the crowd for a couple of minutes with a speech about the need to end bigotry and hatred and keep it out of New York City, where we don't want it, although we have far too much of it anyway. I'm trying to see if in the background you can see, you can just get a wisp of the torn up ground in the distance beyond him. It doesn't really give you the best shot of it. But we did a little singing. We listened to Reverend Billy. We held up signs.
You didn't alert the media, and you didn't get arrested.
Well, one reason we didn't get arrested and didn't get tickets or summonses these times, Reverend Billy and I are the ones who got summons at the press conference outside Beth Israel a couple of weeks ago. We didn't get them because we didn't send out a press release this time about this event. So the police were not notified, and they did not show up. And we did the whole thing in, what, about 20, 25 minutes. And then peacefully packed ourselves up and left in distanced formations.
And we just saw the Samaritan's Curse sign. You know, we get some pushback in the community, like, oh, you know, take any help you can get in a storm. Again, we were never objecting to individuals of this religion coming in and trying to help under our rules, but they came in under their rules, which said no one can work with us unless they condemn gay people. Well, that's outrageous, and they should. We should. I mean,
and condemn women's reproductive rights, and you know, be just evangelical Christians. That's all the people they want to work with and have working with them, and that's just not the way things should work.
By the way, Franklin Graham is asking Congress to grant legal immunity to religious organizations reopening amid the pandemic. I'm not going there with you, Franklin.
Legal immunity in what sense? Meaning if someone goes...
If they get infected in church, then you can't sue them.
Well, Trump is trying to do that for businesses. That's what he's trying to put in the next relief bill. And people are not crazy about that.
Well, I spoke with Jerry Nadler yesterday. He talked to the residents of our building and said we absolutely will not go for that. It's a non-starter with the Democrats in the House.
Well, there are a number of non-starters on each side. And so expansion of relief is stalled. And there are a lot of people. All of this would be so much easier and there would be so much less pressure on the country to open up if people were given guaranteed income for a while until we had a much better handle on this whole virus. But that's not happening.
Should we talk about what happened with Joe Biden this week?
Well, I have a number of other virus stories.
Can I whip through those?
Let's do that before we get to Joe. This story about the vaccine, trial of the Moderna vaccine where they're reporting 8 patients had an immune reaction. Well, as I heard a doctor point out on TV this morning, 8 patients, that's lovely. It's nice they produced an immune reaction, but there were 45 patients in that study. How come we're only hearing about 8 of them? Are they just plucking the ones that had the best reaction and calling that the study result?
The guy running Moderna and is on the board of Moderna is heading the vaccine unit now.
The Warp Speed is a former Moderna board member,
which was run by Rick Bright, who we now hear is a brother. One of our viewers wrote to me and said he used to date my brother. I said, "Is he out?" She said, "Sure, he is. He's a great guy."
He
was a great guy. Did a great job on 60 Minutes. He's a very sincere guy who's trying to save the country. He did a very brave thing and is paying for it.
Well, there are a lot of them around, and they're all getting fired by the Trump administration. They still haven't come up with a good answer of why the Inspector General in the State Department needed to be fired, other than that he was appointed by another administration. We are still pressing for data on LGBT people who have experienced the virus. We want to know if there are outbreaks in our communities of any sort and people with HIV, and we're still not getting that data. New York City's Department of Health is not handing over more than a few meager numbers.
I write to them every week asking for it. We want to share it with our viewers, that not just LGBT, but 8 people with HIV and how the drugs are interacting. And they keep, saying, we're working on it. And then they give me nothing because they have nothing. And these statistics are required to be collected by law that was passed in 2016, a law that the mayor and the health department have just ignored.
California is trying to pass a bill that would mandate this. I don't know whether they would pay attention to the law, but the bill has now gotten out of a health committee in the legislature, but they have a ways to go before they pass that.
And Pennsylvania says they're working on it.
Yeah, the trans doctor Rachel Levine, who is the Secretary of Health in Pennsylvania, says that she will add sexual orientation and gender identity to patient data collection. I don't know how fast or how far she'll get with that. She, by the way, is, of course, being attacked by the right wing. She's being misgendered by people and harassed. Just ugly stuff.
Ugly stuff. Well, let's give them some better news. Equality California has set up a website and a helpline to connect LGBTQ plus Californians impacted by COVID with LGBTQ-friendly resources and support services serving all 53 counties. They're going to run free webinars for those unemployed or have lost their jobs. So you go to COVID19.EQCA, that's Equality California, EQCA.org, or you can call 323-448-0126, and we'll put this in our email for those of you who missed that.
And if you're more into the details of treatment and vaccine research, and public policy on the virus. The Treatment Action Group is putting together a whole website for that. You can go to treatmentactiongroup.org for their updates on the details of everything. They're very smart about the science, and you can follow it there at treatmentactiongroup.org.
And we told you that some Chinese researchers had detected elements of the virus in semen last week. Our viewer, Andy Taines, he's got a very sharp eye. He pointed out that it's not clear that scientists found infectious virus or inert fragments. So sexual transmission, they're saying, still is very unlikely. However, it's been detected in saliva, urine, and feces. And the main pathways are still oral and nasal reception. So, you know, fertility clinics have stopped accepting semen. But if you're going to be intimate with someone and they've got the virus, you're going to get...
Doesn't matter whether it's in
the virus.
Right. You're not going to be 6 feet away.
That's right.
And in South Korea, where the gay community is getting blamed as a spreader of disease because this one guy... was found infected who's been hanging out in the gay bar section. There's a new Queer Action Council, Queer Action Against COVID-19, which is a coalition of 7 groups that are working with city government to combat stigma and misinformation. So I'm glad to see that the LGBT community in South Korea is fighting back and trying.
I did mention that the Blood Center has said in press reports that they will now adopt FDA guidelines in early June. There's been a big push for this from Senator Brad Hoyleman, who tried to donate blood and couldn't. He's gay. And Lucas Estock, who tried to donate blood plasma to the Blood Center and couldn't. They both were rejected. The mayor announced that we have a critical blood shortage. So I wrote to him and said, why don't you do an executive order and make them take our blood? And in fact, the only scientific limit should be maybe 10 days, right, in terms of
right.
When you might miss it.
Even that, you can actually find HIV 5 days after infection.
Right. So there's just no reason for this ban, and it should be stopped. We got a lot of gay people in New York who could be donating blood. And God, I saw somebody sent me an email saying, oh, you can get tested down here now someplace in Florida, but you've got to give blood first and, you know, be a blood donor, and then you can get a test free.
Well, I looked at they're now sending around a lot of links of where you can get tested in New York City and under what conditions. And they all still seem, for the most part, to require symptoms of virus infection. You can't just go someplace and get tested.
That is insane.
I could lie, but really, that's not what I want to do. All right, you want to move on to Joe Biden?
We could. Yes, let's talk about Joe. Well, I mean, this may sound pro forma, but he did issue a very long, detailed statement on the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia.
And biphobia.
Biphobia. Well, where's the B? Chastising the Trump-Pence regime for doing everything it can to undermine LGBTQ rights through odious policies. You all know this, but he said it. He recalled the achievements of the Obama-Biden administration and promises to reinvigorate and expand U.S. efforts to advance LGBTQ rights at home and around the world and strengthen the coalition of nations committed to do the same. Anything less, he said, would be un-American. He has such quaint ways of saying things, but he said it. And again, you're not going to get any of this out of Trump.
Well, Pompeo has already told us he's wiping out all of that kind of work around the world by the U.S. government. So it's very clear. Meanwhile, Don Jr., little Donnie, is calling Biden a pedophile.
Yes.
And because he's nice to little kids when they're involved in ceremonies.
And he says, can't you take a joke? Every time you call them on something, they say, can't you take a joke?
Can't you take a joke? You're a joke.
The Trump campaign has hired Jenna Ellis, an opponent of the decriminalization of sodomy, as their public policy director. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's her position, but she was public policy director of the James Dobson Family Institute. She said the Supreme Court marriage decisions would lead to legalized bestiality, and there's that word again, pedophilia. And then she said, hey, love is love, right? That's all they're saying. So, yeah.
What?
Love is love. Well,
yes.
In other words, she's saying, why not bestiality? Why not pedophilia? Love is love. Love is love.
Well, that must mean she's communicating with animals if she knows what their attitude is. And, of course, Eric, the other little monster child, is saying that the Democrats invented the virus, created the virus, or made it up and no one's really sick or dead, I guess.
I thought it was China. It's all right. Did we talk about Biden promising not to pardon Trump or the crime family?
No.
He was on MSNBC with Stacey Abrams, mm-hmm. and a viewer, you know, calls mm-hmm. him with a question. They have him on video, and he says, look, you're not going to do what Nixon did to Ford, are you? I want to
Ford to Nixon.
Ford to Nixon, right. Ford pardoned Nixon. You're not going to do that. And he said, I absolutely promise not to interfere with the Justice Department prosecution of Trump and the crime family. You can call them the crime family. That's what I'm calling them. So that was ironclad and terrific, I think.
I think you have to prosecute him or he'll just run for president again 4 years later. I guess our long national nightmare will not be over so quickly, even if Biden gets elected.
It's nice to see a Biden-Sanders task force formed to find the party unity over policy.
And how did Stacey Abrams and Joe Biden look together? I didn't see that broadcast.
I really like Stacey Abrams. I mean,
me too.
The pushback you get is she had experience. She had more experience in government than Barack Obama.
Exactly, and certainly more than Donald Trump.
She had she was the Democratic leader of the Georgia State Assembly. She should be the governor of Georgia. It was stolen from her, and you could look all that up. But yeah, I thought she did fine. I mean, she's campaigning for the job, and why not give it to somebody who really wants it? There are people who really remember how many people turned down McGovern when he went looking for a running.
Yes, I do. And then he had to replace his first choice.
Right.
All right. I have one ray of hope from the Trump administration, just for equal time. Well, you may remember that Obama, as he was leaving office, put out an order that trans people could serve openly in the military. Yes. Then Trump comes along and very quickly announces that, no, they can't. He wakes up one morning and starts tweeting about it to everyone's surprise. And ever since then, we've been battling back and forth. What are the standards? Can anyone do it? People are not allowed to enlist as trans. Trump administration says, oh, what are you talking about? Trans people can serve in the military as long as they serve in their birth gender. I think you're missing the point.
That's the new Hungarian standard.
Yeah. Well, now, to everyone's surprise, the acting Secretary of the Navy has issued a waiver to a trans person in the Navy who has been there for 9 years, a trans woman, and she may serve in her preferred gender.
And she can obtain a gender marker change.
Yeah, she was suing with the help of NCLR, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Legal Lawyer, something in Defenders. I lost track.
Why wasn't the person who granted this waiver been fired yet?
I think as soon as the Gay USA show makes this public, the acting Navy Secretary will be fired. Many others are waiting for, have applied for waivers and are waiting for approval. We have no idea, of course, whether any of that will be granted, but hallelujah and thank you to the Navy Secretary who granted this waiver.
The Trump campaign is also recruiting 50,000 polling site monitors to harass and intimidate voters on Election Day. So we're going to need all 50,000 of you, our viewers, to be out there protecting our right to vote. And by the way, public service announcement, don't take hydroxychloroquine prophylactically.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing one way or another. All right. Other news. Well, do you have a...
On the election, by the way,
yes,
we're going to have a primary in New York on June 23rd. Governor Cuomo's efforts to end that has been stopped by Andrew Yang in a lawsuit. So we are going to have a primary. You can vote by mail, and you can apply online for an absentee ballot. You're also going to get something in the mail asking you if you want an absentee ballot. So send it in.
If you get out a pen and paper, I'm going to give you a few dates to look forward to, events. The first one coming up is this weekend, May 23rd, Saturday, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Lavender Graduation Online. Campus Pride has been doing this for 25 years, but this, of course, is a special year. And this is going to be an event, a ceremony, a celebration of graduating LGBTQ college seniors. There are going to be commencement addresses by two LGBTQ members of Congress, Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas and Chris Pappas from New Hampshire. They're both terrific new young members of Congress, and a number of other special speakers. And if you go to campuspride.org/2020, or even just campuspride.org, you can get the information for linking to the on-air or the online broadcast on Saturday.
And all of these links will be in our email. Numbers have been rising during the pandemic. More of you want this news and all these links, and there's going to be a whole bunch of links in the email. So keep writing in until we hit that 50,000 mark.
Or 500,000. All right. Well, then here are a couple more. On June 12th, a couple of things. George Takei is going to be the commencement speaker for the whole UCLA graduation.
He's a two-time graduate of UCLA.
BA and MA. So he's going to be terrific doing that. And also on June 12th, there will be a production called From Here, which is the a musical built around the Pulse massacre. June 12th is the anniversary. It's not just all about the massacre, but it's about people who in one way or another were connected to it. And it's going to be a benefit for Equality Florida. It's going to happen 9 p.m. on June 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is the fourth anniversary. The massacre was in 2016. It's going to be video of a live performance that was done with an audience. It's both a comedy and a drama, From Here on June 12th.
That sounds nice, but we have some bad news from Orlando. The LGBT plus center was vandalized by white supremacist propaganda. May 11th through the 14th, they cut their internet lines, they put graffiti up, and white supremacist stickers on the side of the building. And so they were without phone or internet for a couple of days.
There's a lot of that kind of crime going on. It's going on here. I'm sure it's going on a lot of places. It's a lot of tension and stress and bad stuff.
They take it out on vulnerable people who they blame for the pandemic because of the hatred. Yeah.
All right. So next, I guess we should let's honor a few people who died, who we lost this week. Thomas Sokolowski, 70 years old, was the co-founder of Visual AIDS, which is an extremely important organization that preserves and promotes the art of people who died of AIDS or are living with AIDS. And he was a gallery director of the Gray Art Gallery here in New York. He went on to become the director of the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. But in co-founding Visual AIDS, he was a founder of the Day Without Art, the Night Without Light, and the Red Ribbon Project. You think that may have just popped up from nowhere on its own, but the Red Ribbon Project was created very deliberately by people who wanted to create a symbol for the horror that was the AIDS epidemic. And boy, did that take off like a shot.
Absolutely. I wore a red ribbon on this show for about 8 years. The Day Without Art started on December 1st, 1989. This was about getting museums and galleries to actually close on World AIDS Day and or shroud some of their work. Within like a few months, they got 685, he with his group, 685 institutions to participate in it.
Yep. Now, it was very meaningful, very important. It still is happening. And the Night Without Light was a time for the lights to be turned off. All of this was symbolic of what we lost with all the people who died of AIDS and huge losses.
Thomas died of cardiac arrest following emergency surgery for a subdural hematoma. Not a COVID death that we know of.
Yeah.
70 years old, gone too soon. And he was, you know, he was the longest serving director of the Andy Warhol Museum. He came in 2 years after it started, and there already been like two or three directors. And then he came in and he served for many, many years, actually, from 1996 to 2010.
Do you want to tell us about Frances Golden?
I do. Now, Frances Golden, not a lesbian herself, 96 years old, she was really a legendary neighborhood activist and a literary agent. She had two lesbian daughters, and she marched for them every year on Pride Day. We have a picture of her there. You're gay, you've enjoyed Greenwich Village. See, she saved the village with her Cooper Square committee.
East Village.
Well, the village, because Robert Moses wanted to cut a highway under the Washington Square Arch. I mean, there are pictures of this, a highway under the Washington Square Arch going south and then feeding off into the bridges downtown. She stopped that with her committee. So she saved the village. I mean, the village would be a nightmare if all those things had happened. But as a literary agent, she represented such authors as Dorothy Allison, Adrienne Rich, Susan Brown Miller, Martin Duberman, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. Her advice as an activist is, if you think you're going to do something overnight, forget it. It takes years.
Well, yes, and she spent years working on preserving affordable housing in the East Village.
Yes.
When all this development was proposed. She really is given credit for being the fundamental key to creating and saving affordable housing.
She was a true legend.
Yeah.
And
then we're very sorry, very sad to hear about Melissa Etheridge and Julie Cypher's son, Beckett, who is a victim of the opioid crisis and died at age 21. Terrible.
Very, very, very sad. Very, very
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
All right.
And as long as we're on to sad news or infuriating news, in Kansas City, two police officers have been charged with horrendously brutalizing and beating this poor trans woman who you see on the ground there with them roughing her up. They threw her to the ground. They, knelt on her head. Purposefully struck her head against the concrete. Oh, no. Sorry. That's what they're saying she did. The cops are saying, oh, wait, no, she purposely struck her head against the concrete. I don't think so. There was some dispute in a store. They were called. She was whatever. And they just beat the hell out of her. And what are they charged with? Fourth-degree misdemeanors for beating this woman like crazy.
Well, then there's. Should we move on to Minneapolis?
Well, I just want to say this woman named Breonna Hall. She was later murdered gunshots. Someone shot her dead.
Oh,
it was a terrible, terrible story. Wow. And that was Kansas City, Missouri.
Gotta take you through another depressing story, not quite as violent, but a local news anchor there, Matt Bellinger of KSTP-TV, was assaulted over his presumed gay orientation on May 12th. He was at a light rail station, and a man threw an object at his eye, seriously injuring him. He could lose his sight in the eye. The police arrested, through camera stuff, a guy named Vinny Jerome Williams, 39, who, as soon as they got him in the car, started making a rant against homosexuals after his apprehension. The perpetrator has been charged, the alleged perpetrator, with assault in the third degree. But wow, he's on leave right now while he's trying to heal.
I don't know whether you said that was in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And in Gardena, California, a former police lieutenant, Stephen Prendergast, is suing the police department for anti-gay and anti-HIV harassment. He was out as having HIV and being gay. He had been harassed at work a lot. And because he was not popular for all those things in the police department, he was fired for, he was accused of touching two other police officers on a work trip to D.C. He absolutely denies this, says this is just part of the harassment I've always suffered in this police department in Gardena, California, and I am suing. So that's what he's doing.
We've told you about the long saga of Brandon Bastian, the Amtrak engineer who,
yes,
the train went off the rails, killed a lot of people in 2015 when he was coming out of Philadelphia. And the case had been dismissed, and now it's been reinstated. So he's on the hook again.
Yeah.
For this.
It's a mess.
It is a mess. The charges have been reinstated. Some better news.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Idaho Falls, Idaho. The city council, I guess, there has added public accommodations to the non-discrimination law that covers sexual orientation and gender identity. It was passed originally with just housing and employment covered, but they have now added public accommodations, and that's a big deal and a great thing in Idaho.
This would be time to pause and remind people that we are anxiously, I think is the right word, awaiting the Supreme Court decision in the transgender rights and sexual orientation rights cases that are coming down. We don't know exactly when they're going to come down. They could come down at any time, probably later in the month of June, but you got to brace yourself. And you've got to, again, recognize we built up a lot of case law that says we are covered under sex discrimination under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. There are a lot of cases going back 20 years on this, and we don't know what the court is going to do to this. It's hard to be optimistic with this court, but we don't know. And whatever happens, we've got to keep fighting so that we can protect our rights through the Equality Act in the Congress that the House has passed and that the Senate would pass if it was in better hands.
Right. In Puerto Rico, they're having a little dust up. They've passed a new civil code, and it validates the legality of same-sex marriage, which, of course, is legal. But it refuses to allow gender changes on birth certificates. You can note a gender change with an asterisk, but your gender as assigned at birth remains the same.
This makes it very difficult when you have to present a birth certificate. It makes it very, very complicated for you. So they need to fix that.
Yeah.
They are trying to fix it. Go ahead.
Better news from Montgomery County, Maryland, where the school board has approved a one-semester LGBTQ studies pilot course that will include history and issues and rights and all that kind of stuff. That would be terrific. We need a lot more of that.
This was pushed by the PTA has an LGBTQ committee. And the school board recognized the ill effects of not being represented in the curricula. So two high schools are going to offer it next spring and eight more in 2021-22, if there is such a thing as school at that time.
Ready to move on to international news?
I am.
You may want to cover your eyes at the moment. We're going to show you a scene of lesbian sex between gorillas. This is supposedly the first observed sexual practice observed among female gorillas. And
Tom took this picture.
The extraordinary thing here is that people have often described same-sex relations between non-humans as sort of situational. Well, there weren't enough animals of the opposite sex around, so this is what they fall into. But in this, the observation was that there seemed to be a relationship, affection. They were making the choice for each other. They were rejecting other males that were available. And so here we have a picture of a gorilla lesbian coupling.
Right. All right. Now we got good news and bad news from Iraq. In Baghdad, it was May 17th was the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia.
Can I interrupt a second to say the gorillas were in Rwanda, if anyone is looking for them?
Okay.
Sorry.
So in Baghdad, the European Union joined with Canada and the United Kingdom in raising the rainbow flag at one of the at the EU embassy, I guess.
And the World Bank.
Yes. The Iraqi government freaked out, calling it a provocation on the sacred religious emotions and concepts. That's probably a very bad translation, but that's what I got. The European Union took down the Facebook post. Embassies have been warned of possible rocket attacks over this. Personnel were told, and all the embassies were told, to hide all manifestations of LGBT visibility until things calmed down. You know, things weren't, I mean, things were bad under Saddam for the Kurds and a lot of other people, but not for gay people and women as they are now in Iraq because of our invasion.
I'm locking the door right now.
Okay.
In Costa Rica, some right-wing parliament members wanted to delay the recognition of same-sex marriage coming at the beginning May 26th. That was rejected by the majority, so they're going ahead with marriage on May 26th. The night before, they're having a big celebratory live stream. That's Monday, May 25th at 11 p.m. Eastern time here.
And the link will be in our email. Just go to gayusatv.org and sign up for our email list. I'll give you the link. The vote in the assembly there was 33 to 20.
Preceded by a fist fight between legislators on both sides.
Oh,
sorry, I missed that.
By the way, India has now launched the marriage project to legalize same-sex marriage, building on the court's decriminalization of homosexuality in 2018.
And in Taiwan, the president celebrated the first anniversary of the legalization of same-sex marriage. And in surveys, 92% of the population says the legalization of same-sex marriage has had no effect on their lives. And yet, half are still opposed to it.
Well, and in Hungary, they did go ahead and pass that bill to ban legal gender recognition, rolling back trans and intersex rights, despite opposition from the EU Parliament and the United Nations Committee for Human Rights. The bill passed 133 to 57, which gives them the two-thirds that Orbán, the head of the country, needs. Sex and gender have now been replaced by the word birth sex. Biological sex based on primary sex characteristics and chromosomes, once recorded, cannot be amended. You know, and this contradicts the Hungarian court, which have said, come on, you got to do this the other way. And so the activists are appealing to the president of the country, who's not Orbán, somebody else, saying, give this to the Constitutional Court and get it overruled.
Well, the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights did a survey of 140,000 people and produced a report called A Long Way to Go for LGBTI Equality. They found little progress in overall in recent years, but there's still violent attacks, discrimination, fear, economic insecurity, harassment. You know, we see great success, we see backward steps, and overall things are still very difficult.
How about what happened in Amagasaki in Japan? Two hotels, this is in Western Japan, were reprimanded for refusing to rent to a gay couple, despite a law that bans discrimination on sexual orientation and gender identity. These are called love hotels.
Well, they're the hotels where you can rent by the hour.
Yes. Yes. One hotel accepted the order that you gotta accommodate them. The other one said they aren't rejected for being gay. 51 municipalities, including Amagasaki, issue certificates recognizing same-sex partners as equivalent to married partners. The health ministry bans the refusal of hotel guests based on sexual orientation and gender identity as of 2018.
All right, let's whip through a few other stories internationally and then move on. In Albania, there's a board of psychologists, and they are banning conversion therapy.
Albania. In Uganda, the 19 LGBTQ people who were arrested ostensibly for violating coronavirus distancing guidelines have been held for 50 days in close quarters, charged with violations, and anyway, they couldn't see their lawyers. Well, the lawyers finally got to the court, and the court said, let these people out. And they are in terrible shape. Some have symptoms of malaria and typhoid. The HIV-positive ones were denied their medications. So this was a gross human rights violation.
It included 13 gay men, a couple of bi men, and four trans women, terribly treated. In China, they took a survey of university students and found 15% of them identify as gay, bi, or pansexual.
That's right.
Okay.
9% bi, 5% gay, 1% pan.
In Egypt, one of their well-known actors, Hesham Salim, came out publicly supporting his trans son. He described his son's transition as an act of courage and spoke out quite eloquently on his behalf.
The woman interviewing him on the tape said, "You got a lot of guts."
Yeah. A couple of coronavirus-related stories from South and Central America. In Colombia and Panama, they set up systems to try to ameliorate the virus by saying men and women can leave the house only on alternating days. So one day men can go out, the next day women can go out, blah, blah, blah. And, well, remember when there was a gas shortage and whether your license plate ended in odd or even number, you could get gas? Well, the problem is that trans women were being horrendously harassed in this. And they were just in a no-win position. Whenever they tried to leave the house, they were harassed and hit on and abused. So Colombia canceled that system of alternate days for men and women. Panama has not canceled its system, and people are still under attack there.
Should we give them the big AIDS news?
In one second. In North Macedonia, the Constitutional Court has invalidated the non-discrimination law because of a technicality. They said that the parliament should have passed it by a majority of all members of parliament instead of a majority of those who were there and voting.
That is known as an absolute majority.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, AIDS news.
Okay. Well, the big news is that a long-acting antiretroviral injection given once every 2 months. Now, this study has been interrupted by COVID-19, but it was an apparent success. 4,500 participants. The name of it is
Cabotegravir.
cabotegravir.
Now, cabotegravir has not yet been approved for anything. It is in trials, but it has proved to be even more effective than the 99% effective Truvada pill. So the deal with cabotegravir is that it is an injection in your butt, your rear end, once every 2 months or once every 8 weeks.
And it's a great option for people who have trouble taking pills or being adherent to taking pills.
And you don't have to think about it for a couple of months. Now,
it's a movement in the direction of a vaccine.
The main side effect, of course, is soreness at the injection point. Other than that, they haven't come up with anything serious.
And the people who were getting the placebo in the trial are now getting the drug.
Right. And just as Truvada is a two-drug combination that works as a preventative, and then if you add a third drug, it works as treatment for those who are HIV positive, cabotegravir in its original form is just for prevention, but they're also studying adding another drug to it to use it as treatment. And the expectation is that it will be approved for both those things in those two forms. By the way, the advice they give for soreness at the injection point, walk it off.
Cabotegravir, don't inject it yourself.
It's a GlaxoSmithKline affiliate that makes it. They find that it had like one third the number of subsequent HIV infections than Truvada, 12 instead of 28.
Why those people got infected.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's in a universe of 4,600 in the trials. Those were all in men. They are conducting a trial in women, which they have not done with Truvada yet, I think. But it started a year later, so they will be assessing it in women as they go along. The trials conducted in the U.S., Argentina, Brazil, Peru, South Africa, Thailand, and Vietnam. So that's good because they did it all over the world. So cabotegravir injections, the next step in HIV prevention.
Down to our last 5.5 minutes. So yep. Let's do some, you have anything else on AIDS?
No, that's it.
Let's talk about entertainment news. Well, in terms of events, May 21st at 8 p.m., Sally Field, the PFLAG mom, and Bryan Cranston are going to be in A.R. Gurney's Love Letters. You go to BroadwaysBestShows.com, and it's going to be live streamed at 8 o'clock on May 21st.
We've told you that most of the pride parades around the world have been canceled, and they're going to do some big 24-hour extravaganza on June 27th. Well, as suspected, Heritage of Pride in New York is also doing something else on Sunday, the 28th, from 12 to 2 p.m. on WABC, because they're not giving up that contract or those sponsors. Lots of celebrities, 12 to 2 on
and you
the.
You can hear from their corporate sponsors. PBS, we told you about PBS's Pride Land. They're going to launch this 6-part series on LGBTQ identity in the U.S. South, May 26th, on something called PBS Voices on YouTube, a documentary channel. And it's going to be broadcast on June 12th and at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's hosted by Dylan Burnside of Pose. There he is. He's gay. He's Southern. He's going to explore a lot. Some of it will be about himself, but of course, he's going to explore a lot of other people.
He plays Ricky on Pose, and he is adorable. I watched a very English scandal on Amazon Prime. It's not good when you end up rooting for the bad guy.
Jeremy Thorpe was the Liberal Party leader, and he got involved in a gay scandal that involved hiring somebody to kill somebody else, etc. Ben Whishaw is in it. Yeah.
I thought Ben Whishaw was kind of despicable. So I was rooting for Jeremy Thorpe, but he's the bad guy. Netflix is starting the new season of Queer Eye on June 5th. They're going to be headquartered in Philly. Joe's Pub here in New York is broadcasting on their Joe's Pub Live series, Pride Inside, throughout June. Free live streams of fabulous performers from Joe's Pub. I watched the American Idol finale, and a young woman who I suspect might be a lesbiterian, Just Sam, won, although she wasn't my favorite performance. A Little Late with Lily Singh, the Indian bisexual show host on late night NBC, has been renewed for a second season.
On the other hand, actor Ruby Rose is leaving Batwoman after one season, no reason given. The role is going to be recast. It was the first to feature a lesbian superhero in the title role. She's Rose's openly gender fluid and lesbian. She was nearly paralyzed by a stunt-related injury doing the show.
Well, that may have something to do with it. Not a superhero, the lesbian star of Hightown, the new Starz season series. I watched the first episode. It all takes place in Provincetown. It's full of gay people, pride parades, everything. The New York Times review basically didn't say any of that, just described it as a murder mystery without using any of those words except Provincetown.
Is that progress?
No, it was bad.
We're going to take a look back next week. We're going to bring Joe Lovett on the show. He's the guy who made the documentary Gay Sex in the 70s. Really great documentary. He's going to talk about that.
Fabulous.
And some of his other work, because Gay Sex in the 70s is going to be made available for free one day, June 1st. I think that's a Monday. And we'll have more information about that next week.
Such a great and important documentary. And, of course, Joe made our opening title sequence, which we can't air these days because we're on Zoom, but we'll be back to that. I want to mourn the death of Fred Willard, who was just the most wonderful actor and who had played one of the first gay characters on TV as the partner of Martin Mull on Roseanne.
Oh, right.
And they had a long arc with that, and they got married, and that was adorable. I love Fred Willard in everything. And, of course, my old colleague Phyllis George died. I was at the CBS.
Oh, yes. I was going to ask you.
She was a mess, but she only lasted 8 months, but she was amusing.
NFL Today.
Well, here was my favorite moment. Remember the Ethiopian famine?
Yes.
She goes on the air and says, "I think we should all send canned goods to Ethiopia." And they go to commercial, and she comes back and says, "You know what? We just got a call from the Red Cross, and they said, don't send canned goods to Ethiopia. Send money."
Send money. Broadway is going to open up next March, basically. They're going to bring back Plaza Suite with Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker, and they're going to bring back MJ, the Michael Jackson musical. And we're out of time.
Okay.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. See you next week. Bye.
Thanks for watching.